Greetings, fellow Israelites, near and far. This is part 7 of Believe. This study is covering all the verses that show what believe means and how it is used in Scripture. You can follow along with the article by going to www.thinkoutsidethebeast.com. Believe is found in the Word Studies menu. The Jewish counterfeit priesthood in Judea, which had infiltrated the Levitical priesthood and perverted the laws of Moses into their own traditions, were teaching the people Judaism, or Judeo-Christianity, which removed the name of God, which is Yahweh, and used the priestly authority to control the people by their form of the Torah. Just like today, back then, they have deceived our people with their satanic doctrine, which, to the unlearned, seems like Christianity, and seems like the Jews are Israel, and that we are Gentiles, removing us from our heritage, history, and way, and has us partaking in their apostasy. Who do you think Christ will say, "Depart from me, I never knew you," to? It's our people, our lazy, gullible, stiff-necked, hard-hearted, so-called Christians in all the denominational synagogues of ignorance and abomination. Just like today, back then, these dirty bird Jews have led us astray from the blessings and protection of Yahweh with their version of their belief. Their belief is not our belief, and their belief is not the belief. We are seeing a pattern in Paul's epistles. He is teaching to believe in the prophecies and the words of Yahweh. He is realigning Israelites back to the belief through the gospel message, which is the good news of He who was written about by the prophets, who would die, so He may remarry us according to His own laws and bear our sins, freeing us from the penalty of sin, which, by demonstrating the perfect example of what the Word is, which is the plan and the will of Yahweh for His children in the earth, to perform their duty as a faithful or loyal heir to the inheritance, which is only eligible if we know, trust, believe, walk, and live the belief. If we are tending the vineyard, being the watchman on the wall, being fishers of men, building the kingdom, and constantly seeking and studying to deepen our knowledge and understanding so we may show ourselves approved and claim our position of sons in the everlasting reign of Yeshua. You can't do that by just believing. And you certainly cannot get there on the rapture plane to your mansion in the sky with your fruit basket because you declared yourself saved, as if it were up to you to give yourself a guaranteed winning lottery ticket because you were fooled into believing you had the power to deliver yourself. That is the difference between a born-again Gentile saved by grace who loves to dig on swine and puts their 1 hour in, sitting in their own pew in a pagan temple with a sun pillar obelisk with the symbol of Tammuz atop, on the day of the sun god, and get their Happy Meal sermon spoon-fed to them while they tithe to Israel and spread their untempered mortar false beliefs everywhere they go, believing they are doing God a service. And they are, only the God they are servants to is the God of this world, Haimi Halel and his sheeny Jew children. These poor denominational Christians have no idea about the belief, and the glorious good news it is, and how special they are, and that they are not Gentiles saved by church belief, but that they are lost Israelites which need to be reacquainted with the belief, which is part of our heritage, our duty as children of the Most High, our trust and reliance on Yahweh alone, our loyalty to His instructions and appointed times. The belief is the history and map of our path back to the position of a trustworthy bride, which has separated ourselves from false beliefs, whoring, idolatry, race mixing, and accepting and supporting Mystery Babylon, which is the Jewish-controlled age of Esau we are now yoked under. How many of you have come up out from her? How many of you still live in the cities? How many of you believe the United States is still a country, or that we can even take it back? How many of you still pay tithes to Satan for filling your minds with Talmud vision puke? How many of you have things in your home which would offend Yeshua if he were to stop by? How many of you pray and repent daily? How many of you observe the Shabbats or feast days? How many of you have the Ten Commandments on your doorposts? How many of you take the belief seriously? Christianity is not a club, or a hobby, or a blog, or a Sunday event, or even a faith, because faith is not a belief. The word faith was not even used until the 1200s AD. That is why the word faith, being a noun only, really means allegiance or loyalty. Faith was not originally a statement about belief, but about behavior. Christianity is the way. It's the way of life and the duty of a racial Adamic Israelite with the knowledge and understanding of who they are and whose they are. A true Christian is one that understands who the adversary is and who is the enemy and can discern between the counterfeit belief and the belief. Of course, these revelations are only given by Yahweh, who draws whom He wills. Many are called, but few are chosen. If you have been duped into believing the counterfeit belief, you can come to the truth. All you have to do is just believe. No. But you do need to repent and ask the Father to open your eyes. If you remain stiff-necked and stubborn and do not even look at the evidence and are happy with your Haimi Jesus, then you will die in your fake belief. Even in ignorance, we are held accountable. It most certainly matters who and what we believe in. Many will fall because of their belief. But we, the true remnant, the true Christian Israelites of the house of Jacob, who have true knowledge and understanding of who we are and whose we are, we shall overcome and shine in the new sky and the new land, because we have the belief. We finished in Ephesians in part 6 and continue here in part 7. With Philippians. Philippians 1, verse 15. Some indeed proclaim Christ, even of envy and strife, and some also out of pleasure. The enemies of Christ, by the denial of the gospel, helped prove the gospel true. Verse 16. The former preach Christ of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains, but the latter of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then, notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and I therein do rejoice. Yea, I will rejoice. The gospel was preached out in the open. Verse 19. For I know that this shall turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Yeshua Christ, according to my earnest, intense longing and my expectation, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all free spokenness, as always, now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Because the translators don't understand that Christos, meaning anointed, sometimes refers to Christ the man, and other times the people, the group, the seed or race of Abraham. As you can tell, the Romans and Greeks were white people. These people are descendants of the 12 sons of Jacob. If you are white, so are you. Here is the Greek for verse 21. For me to live anointed and to die is gain. In other words, since we are the anointed seed of Abraham, if we live according to the Spirit and die for it, we gain everything. We please Yahweh and not this world. Verse 22. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I do not know. For I am afflicted by the two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Paul struggles with death by martyrdom and living for preaching to the anointed ones. Verse 25. And having this confidence, or being persuaded of this, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, or of the belief of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God. The Greek reads, and in nothing being frightened by the opposition, which to them is an indication of destruction, but of your preservation, and this from Yahweh. When you do not fear the adversaries of Christ, they understand that their days are numbered. When you fear not the enemies of Christ, you become assured or confident of your preservation. Verse 29. For unto you salvation is offered on the behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. The churches teach just believe, and that you won't have to suffer because he's going to take you away in the rapture. Scripture teaches that you will be tried through fire, and your works, your belief of the belief, will shine through. We will go through tribulation. Philippians 2:14. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and faultless or unblended, the sons of Elohim, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. The original Greek reveals the deliberate changes made by the translators. That you would be perfect and with unmixed blood, blameless children of Yahweh, in the midst of a race crooked and perverted, among whom you appear as luminaries in the society. The race of Yahweh, versus the race of Satan. This is the continuing enmity of Genesis 3:15. Verse 16, upholding the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered up upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, or the belief of you, I joy and rejoice with you all. Paul was raised a Pharisee. He followed the letter of the law as it was understood at that time, under the influence of the Edomite Jew scribes and Pharisees. They boasted that they followed the law, or what was then the traditions of men, the law of Moses altered. Philippians 3:5. Paul states he was circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the called out assembly, according to righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ, or these I have regarded as loss on account of the anointed, meaning the group. Saul, as a Pharisee, thought he was doing right by persecuting the assemblies. Those believers he destroyed were a gain to him, but since his conversion, he now counts them for a loss among the saints. Matthew 13:44, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, the which, when a man has found, he hides, and for joy thereof goes and sells all that he has, and buys that field. Paul was all in when his eyes were opened by Messiah. Verse 8, yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the prevailing of the knowledge of Yeshua Christ my Prince, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may gain Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith, or the belief of Christ, the righteousness which is of Elohim by faith, or the righteousness which is of Elohim by the belief, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection from among the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, or press on, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of, or have been obtained by Christ Yeshua. Even Paul knew that he wasn't saved yet. Saved means preservation, and it means preservation in this life. That's why this life is a test, and we have to prove ourselves worthy of our inheritance. Colossians 1:3. We give thanks to Elohim and the Father of our Prince Yeshua Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith, or the belief of you in Christ Yeshua, and of the love which you have to all the saints, for the expectation which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. The belief of you is not your own belief, but your belief of the belief. If you have the belief, then you can expect that which is laid up for you in heaven. Colossians 1:21, and you, the dispersed of Israel, that were sometime alienated and enemies in your thoughts by wicked works, yet now has he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and void of offense in his sight, if you continue in the faith, or if you continue in the belief, grounded and settled, and not be moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, and which was preached to every creation which is under the sky, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Paul is saying, stay grounded in the Old Testament and settled in the gospel that has been circulating since the crucifixion, not to be grounded in the belief of denominational religions, but the belief, which is the good news, the law and the prophets, and the truth. Paul criticizes the commandments of men, or the doctrines of men, or the traditions of the elders, in chapter 2. Paul is telling us to be certain that we understand who we are, that we are the anointed seed of Yahweh, descendants of Abraham. The houses of Israel and Judah are the anointed seed of Abraham through Isaac, who was the very man dedicated on the altar to Yahweh. The Jews are teaching our churches to teach you that they are God's people. Paul warns of deceit. Colossians chapter 2, verse 4, and this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your position and firmness of your faith, or the belief of you in Christ, as you have therefore received Christ Yeshua the Prince, so walk ye with him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, or in the belief, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man captivate you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the society, and not after Christ. Paul was spoiled, or captivated, brought up by the sect of the Pharisees. Our people today are spoiled, or captivated, by the love, happy meal, fake message in the synagogues of the Antichrist. Do not walk in the corrupt ways of the churches, but in the righteousness of Yeshua. Verse 12. Buried with him in the immersion of death, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith, or through the belief, of the working of Elohim who has raised him from the dead. We all are appointed to die. But if you die with the knowledge and understanding of the belief, you will be raised also. The Christian life. Colossians 3:1. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of Elohim. Seek righteousness. This can only be done by following the law, following his example, and understanding the belief. Verse 2. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ and Elohim, meaning dead to this world or society. Verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, which would be the second advent, then shall you also appear with him in esteem. Make dead, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, race mixing, uncleanliness, inordinate affection, evil desire, greed of gain, which is idolatry, for which things' sake the wrath of Elohim comes upon the children of disobedience, or disbelief, or unpersuadableness, and rebellious, in which you also walked some time when you lived in them. The children of Israel are the children of disobedience, for only we were given the law. 1 Thessalonians 1:2. We give thanks to Elohim always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your act of faith, or act of the belief, and labor of love, and patience of hope in our Prince Yeshua Christ, in the sight of Yahweh Elohim and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, that you were chosen by Elohim. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Spirit, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake, meaning how they conducted themselves in Thessalonica when they were there. Verse 6. And you became imitators of us and of the Prince, having accepted the word in much tribulation with joy of the Holy Spirit. Our test here as mortals is to imitate our Prince. We will go through tribulation for it and attain honor. Verse 7. So that you were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded forth the word of the Prince not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith, or, but in also every place the belief of you, to Elohim word, is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. Thessalonica became a base for the gospel to spread throughout the Adamic Anglo-Saxon Israelite societies. Verse 9. For they themselves show of us what manner of reception we had unto you, and how you turned to Elohim from idols to serve the living and true Elohim, and to await for his Son in heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Yeshua, which delivered us from the wrath to come. The King James for verse 10 has wait, and wait means to stay. The sense is to stop, as in just believe and wait for the rapture. Await means to stay, to remain or hold, to be ready for. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 9. For you remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not burdensome any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of Elohim. They did not demand tithes. They tried to support themselves. Verse 10. You are witnesses, and Elohim also, how set apart and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that are believing. As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father does his children, that you would walk worthy of Elohim, who has called you into his kingdom and honor. For this cause also thank we Elohim without ceasing, because when you received the word of Elohim, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of Elohim, which effectually worketh also in you that are believing. The Greek Septuagint was the written word of Elohim at that time. 1 Thessalonians 3:1. Wherefore, when we could no longer be contained, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of Elohim, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you, and to encourage you concerning your faith, or the belief of you. The apostles and disciples frequently encouraged and nurtured the belief in those believing. Verse 3. That no man should be shaken by these tribulations, for you yourselves know that for this we are set. For verily, when we were with you, we forewarned that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you have seen. For this cause, when I could no longer be contained, I sent to know of your faith, or the belief of you, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain, or come to no purpose. The belief of you. It does sound weird, but when you come to the understanding of the terminology, you will understand that when you come to the belief, it has to start somewhere, usually small and in small doses. The milk first, then the meat. The adversaries are always at work tempting you with some other belief. Paul and any shepherd would have concern for the seed he planted in you, the growing belief in you. In other words, how is the belief you now have maturing? Verse 6. But now, when Timotheus came from you unto us, and brought us good tidings of your faith, or the belief of you, and the love of you, and that you have a good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we are comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith, or by the belief of you. The growing belief of the belief of you. For now we live, if you stand fast in the Prince. For what thanks can we render unto Elohim again for you, for all the joy wherewith we rejoice for your sakes before our God, night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face, and might furnish that which is lacking in your faith, or that which is lacking in the belief of you. Now Elohim himself, and our Father, and our Prince Yeshua Christ, guide our way unto you. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no expectation. For if we believe that Yeshua died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Yeshua will Elohim bring with him. The Greek translates as, the ones being put to repose through Yeshua shall be leading forth together with him. What is repose? It means to rest in confidence, to repose in the belief and honor of Yeshua. If you die with a belief that is not the belief, after your repose, you will be disposed. 1 Thessalonians 5:2. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the prince so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, or, I'm saved and waiting for the rapture, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. You are all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others, but let us watch and be sober. The sheep don't know when they are in danger, especially if they trust in an unlearned shepherd. Verse 7. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith, or belief, and love, and for a helmet, expectation of deliverance. For Elohim has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by Prince Yeshua Christ, who died for us, that, whether we be alert or sleep, we should live together with him. The Greek translates as, that whether we may be watching or may be down lounging simultaneously together to him, we should be living. 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 3. We are bound to thank Elohim always for you, brethren, as it is deserving, because that your faith, or because that the belief of you grows exceedingly, and the charity, or love, of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves boast in you in the assemblies of Elohim for your patience and faith, or belief, in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of Elohim, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of Elohim, for which you also suffer, seeing it is a righteous thing with Elohim to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Prince Yeshua shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not Elohim, and that obey not the gospel of our Prince Yeshua Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the face of the Master, and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be honored in his saints, and to be admired in all them that are believing, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Wherefore, also we pray always for you, that our Elohim would count you worthy of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness, and the work of faith, or belief, with power, that the name of our Prince Yeshua Christ may be honored in you, and you in him, according to the favor of our Elohim and the Prince Yeshua Christ. The man of lawlessness are the children of Satan, and have already been revealed by Christ. Christ exposed the temple authorities as being the Canaanite, Edomite Jews, that they do the desires of their father. The mystery of lawlessness is already operating, and they own and are running the world, the man of sin prevailing only presently until he should be out of the way. 2 Thessalonians 2:8. And then shall that wicked, or the lawless, be revealed, whom the prince shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is in accordance with the operation of the adversary, or Satan, with all power and signs, and lying wonders of falsehood, and with all deceivableness and unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be preserved. And for this cause Elohim shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. People love their church. It's what they've always done. It's comfortable. They believe every word out of their preacher's mouth. And that the KJV is the inerrant word of God. Jesus is a Jew. You are scum of the earth, Gentiles saved by grace. Just believe. Wait for the rapture. You choose to be saved. And homos and mixed couples are tolerated. Verse 12. That they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to Elohim for you, brethren beloved of the Prince, because Elohim has from the beginning chosen you to preservation in sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the acquisition of the honor of our Prince Yeshua Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the instructions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Prince may have free course and be extolled even as it is with you, and that we may be protected from disgusting and wicked men, for all men have not faith. Well, the Greek is very different for the last part of verse 2. It should read, since the belief is not for all. 1 Timothy 1, 2. Unto Timothy, my own genuine offspring in the faith, or belief, favor, mercy, and peace from Elohim our Father and Yeshua Christ our Prince. Timothy is not Paul's literal son, as shown in Acts 16:1, which states that his mother was a Judean and his father was a Greek. Paul is stating that Timothy is an Israelite of the faith and the seed of Abraham. Verse 3. As I besought you, Timothy, to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that you might command some that they teach no other doctrine. Paul was warning of false teachers, Judaizers, those who taught errors. The Judaizers of the day were the Jewish scribes, Pharisees, and Sadducees. Verse 4. Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which cause disputes rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, or which is in the belief. Edify, in verse 4, is from G 3622, oikonomia. It means management of family. What family? The family is the seed of Abraham, a chosen race of people by Yahweh, holy, set apart from the other races by Yahweh. The myths and endless genealogies are referring to how the Greeks and other pagans claimed their ancestry was from the gods, such as Zeus, Ares, Apollos, and the union of gods and earthly mates. Verse 5. Now the goal of the commandment is love out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith or belief, unhypocritical, from which some having swerved have turned aside unto senseless talking, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say, nor whereof they affirm. Just because someone has knowledge does not mean they have truth. This goes for preachers today as well, who have been mentally inseminated with Judaized doctrine in seminary school, just like Paul when he was Saul, learning as a Pharisee. Verse 12, "And I thank Yeshua Christ, our Messiah, who has empowered me, for that he counted me faithful," or trustworthy, "putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief." He was sincerely not aware that he was not in the belief. This can be corrected. Clearly, one can be forgiven from sins committed in ignorance, as was Paul. If only our ignorant preachers and churches will have a revelation, but their hearts and minds are seared by the Jewish matrix of deceit. Verse 14, "And the favor of our prince was exceeding abundant with faith," or belief, "and love, which is in Christ Yeshua. This is a faithful," or trustworthy, "saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Yeshua came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am first." Paul knows he did wrong to the children of Israel, his own kinsmen. It's possible he feels that he was the first of the worst to be forgiven after the ascension of Christ. Verse 16, "Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Yeshua Christ might show forth all longsuffering, as an example of the ones being about to be believing on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise Elohim, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This command I commit unto you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on you, that you by them might war a good fight, or soldier a good battle, holding faith," or holding belief, "and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning the faith," or the belief, "have made shipwreck." A lot of early converts had fallen over the wayside rapidly. Verse 20, "Of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have surrendered unto Satan," or the adversary, "that they may learn not to blaspheme." When we put those who habitually sin out of our company, congregation, or society, and let the children of darkness, the adversary, deal with them, they will suffer from refusing to follow the Christian way. It might even bring them to repentance, for what communion has light with darkness? 1 Timothy 2:5. "For there is one Elohim, and one mediator between Elohim and men, the man, Yeshua Christ, who gave himself a ransom for all Adam kind, the family, to be testified in due time." The Greek translates as "the one giving himself instead," or as a loosener or ransom, "for the sake of all the witnesses to their own seasons. Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the dispersed nations of Israel in faith," or belief, "and truth." Verse 11, "Let the women learn in silence with all subjection, but I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence." Isaiah 3:12, "As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead you cause you to err, and destroy the way of your paths. Sounds like today. The men have fallen asleep, and the women and children, under the propaganda influence of serpentine Judaism, are running wild. Verse 13. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Adam chose to accept Eve after she had fallen, and in doing so, Adam also transgressed. Verse 15. Notwithstanding, she shall be delivered through childbearing, if they continue in faith, or belief, and love, and set-apartness with discretion. Where the King James perversion has childbearing, the Greek has through the offspring, parenting, which makes sense, for if through the parenting of children in the belief, then she shall be delivered. 1 Timothy 3:8. Likewise, must the reverent ministers be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy money, holding the mystery of the faith, or the belief, in a pure conscience. The mystery is the identity of the nations of Israel and the truth of the belief. Verse 13. For they that have used the office of minister well obtain to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith, or the belief, which is in Christ Yeshua. And without controversy, great is the mystery of the secret of reverence. Elohim was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of messengers, preached unto the nations of Israel, believed on in the society, and received up into honor.
Jesus, I believe.